The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Know How, Know Who, with me, Sally Scott. Today we're getting to know a fellow Nelson local, and getting to know the tools they've used to get through the challenges they've faced. So we all know how to get through whatever life throws our way. So let's get in the know. Good morning, we're here today with a Nelson local, Natalie Nibbs. And we're hearing her know how she got through a difficult challenge. And the challenge she faced is talking about COVID lockdown, the borders closing, a family being separated in two different countries. And we were going to do this interview today in a beautiful park in Corfire Avenue in Stoke. But because the wind is howling and the trees are rustling so loudly, we've had to shelter in the car, so you may still get some noises of trees and birds. Hopefully that sounds quite peaceful. So before we start the program, it may contain some content that is disturbing or sensitive, so listening discretion is advised. If you or someone you know is struggling with issues raised in this program, please consider reaching out to the following support agencies in New Zealand for assistance. So Lifeline, 0800 543 354, the Samaritans, 0800 726 666, or your local GP. So Natalie, let's get to know you a little better. Tell me what was happening for you before lockdown started and COVID, and how your family got into this situation.
Ah, Sally, well, it's a real honour to be sitting with you here today. And so our story really started in 2019 when we made the big decision, a massive decision actually, to move countries from South Africa to New Zealand. I've been married for 31 years.
Wow.
It's a long time, and I've got two beautiful daughters.
Yeah.
Taylor, who's 27, and she got married last year, December, and my youngest, Shiona, she's 22, and she's busy doing her finals or her honours in accounting. So we're a very tight family, tight-knit family, and Taylor had actually moved to New Zealand a little while before that. She'd actually followed her fiancé here, and they decided to make New Zealand their home.
Yeah.
We came to visit them in 2019. And then the latter part of that year, we decided it's a good move.
Yeah.
And to keep our family together. And I mean, you're not supposed to move for your kids, but we didn't just do it for that. There were several other reasons why we did it. And things happened very, very quickly. The visa was through. Victor got a job offer. He had to start in the February. And now, bearing in mind that we had a business we'd been running for 19 years. Victor had his own plumbing business. I had my own travel business.
Yeah.
We'd been in the same home for 19 years.
Wow.
And my mum and dad still live in South Africa.
Mm.
I had my two dogs. I had my elderly cat of 16 years.
You had a whole life there, really settled, very established.
Very established, very settled.
Mm.
Settled but unsettled.
Mm.
In a sense, just given the state of the country at the time. And so Victor, he was on an aeroplane at the end of January, the last week in January, and because it just happened like a bullet train, I still had the house to sell and pack up. I had the business to wrap up. And all of our vehicles, and we had a full complement of staff and equipment and. There's a lot. There was a lot to pack up. And then we had planned Shona and I were going to join Victor and Taylor a few months later once we'd wrapped up everything in South Africa. And I'll never forget that fateful day. when the whole world just like stopped, mm-hmm. and COVID hit, and it, I don't think any of us actually realized the enormity, and the domino effect that happened thereafter with a lot of the decisions that we made, that other people made, and that people in power made.
Mm. So Victor was then already in New Zealand?
Yes.
But you and your daughter were still in South Africa?
Correct, yes. Yeah. So I had one daughter and my husband in New Zealand, and myself and my youngest daughter in South Africa.
Mm.
And, so she and I actually started studying. She started her degree, the first year of her degree, and she was just going to do a year and then, you know, and then join us in New Zealand and what have you, and sold her home. Eventually, we moved out in the June of 2020 out of the house, and I moved in with my parents. And because of COVID, she and I couldn't stay at res, so she actually moved into a friend of ours, had a cottage on their property, just to give her the space she needed for her studies, because she did everything online then. So we literally were in four corners. So I was in Durban, she and I in Pretoria, 6 hours away, Victor in Nelson, and Taylor in Christchurch.
Wow, so all in different cities.
Yes. Yeah, so very fragmented. Mm. It felt like a shattered glass, you know, with just pieces everywhere. And I think.
At what point did you know that this was not going to be a quick fix with COVID, that this was going to take weeks, months, and eventually years before it all came together? When did that, you know, hit you? That
the realization, I don't think ever. It does actually. It never does hit home, because you know, like you're forever hopeful, and then there's a glimmer of hope, and it's like there'll be an announcement, and oh, wait, the borders are going to be opened again, and then the next minute that door's shut in your face, and then there's another glimmer of hope, and then there's another door, and another door, and another door. When so many doors are slammed in your face, you sort of get very disheartened.
I can only imagine.
So I think at one stage I actually said to Victor, I said, I don't know if I can carry on like this. And there were many families like that. We weren't alone. There were so many different families going through what they were going through. But for us, there was no turning back because of the financial implications. To move countries is huge. The amount of time it takes for the paperwork, the money involved, we cashed in our pensions, we sold our business, we had given up our life in South Africa to start a new life here. All our stuff was in the container, and it was being shipped to New Zealand. I couldn't, you know, you can't turn the ship around.
You can't change your mind.
You can't. Once you've committed, boy, when you've got to commit, and you've just got to keep moving forward.
And that ship had sailed literally with your belongings.
It literally sailed. Victor, he had his own story as well. I mean, he arrived in New Zealand with nowhere to stay, and I'd reached out on a Facebook page, on one of the Nelson community Facebook pages, and said, Victor's got nowhere to stay. Where can he stay? I had my folks to stay with. He was coming to a new country, and nowhere to stay. I knew nobody. And an ex-South African actually reached out and he said, well, if you want to come and look after our dogs, we're going away for 3 weeks and you're welcome to come and stay here.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, and that was Rainer
yeah.
Puerta. And Victor stayed there for 3 weeks. And during that time, he actually found a room to rent in somebody's home. Mm-hmm. Lynn and Jeff Ward, amazing people. They also reached out and they became Victor's family.
Mm-hmm.
So he had them here.
Mm-hmm.
They actually still friends today, very close friends of ours. Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing family.
So he had some support here then.
Eventually.
He had mm-hmm. people to stay with mm-hmm. and a roof over his head.
Yes.
And you had your folks.
Yes.
And your daughter studying was in a room at the back of someone's house.
Yes.
In a little flatland somewhere.
Yeah.
Sounds like an incredibly tough time, though, for all of you, not just individually, but as a whole family being separated like that.
Yeah, it was a very difficult time because we were all trying to be strong for each other.
Mm.
And as the mum, you sort of take on all the emotional burden, not mm. to say Victor didn't, you just, men just deal with it in a different way,
yeah.
but it was huge. My heart mm. was really heavy, and I felt defeated. I'm a very organized person where I plan my life, I plan goals, I achieve them,
mm.
and this was the first time in my life that I was not in control.
Wow.
And that's a hard, it's a hard thing to come to terms with when you mm. realize you are nothing.
Mm.
You control nothing.
Mm. So none of the planning was in your hands.
Nothing.
It was all in government decisions about borders, mm. borders opening or closing or flights not going or
correct.
Or flying. So
yeah. Yeah.
There was nothing that you could really do.
No, and it's other people determining your fate.
Mm.
And be it good or bad decisions, it's up to other people who are determining mm. your fate. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. That's huge, though, just realizing that actually, you know, as an adult, that you've got no power to get to your husband and get your family reunited. It's just, it's all in government's hands and you just mm. have to wait and see.
Mm.
You know, what's going to happen next.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. You're absolutely powerless. And the only power you've got is within yourself.
Mm.
And to get through it.
Mm.
And how to get through it. And what do you do to get through it, you know?
Well, that's what I'd love to know. I would love for you to share your know-how because this is such an extreme situation. You know, so tough. And, I mean, here you are, you know, smiling and bubbly and standing upright. So what were the things that you and your family did to get through and not fall apart completely?
First and foremost, Sally, is I am a person of faith
mm.
and I had to surrender. I had to surrender and hand everything over to my God, which is God.
Mm.
And that was a huge liberation in itself because it freed me mm. completely.
Mm.
It freed me of that 9-to-5 worry, 24-hour worry, actually. Mm. I also realized that material possessions meant nothing. Once I packed up my home and it was in the container, it actually, none of that mattered anymore. Mm. And I think I sort of dug really deep and really realized the essence of who I was and who we are, and it all comes down to family,
mm.
you know. You don't need those things, you just mm. need each other.
Mm.
And wow, it just brought our family, even though we're close, we drew even closer.
Mm.
So we, Yeah, so we were each a pillar of strength for each other, particularly Taylor, my eldest daughter. Amazing, amazing. She just grew into this woman overnight. She attended rallies, you know, peaceful rallies. We joined Facebook support groups as well.
Yeah.
And reached out in those, the Reunite Families New Zealand. I have never been one to lean on people. I've always stood on my own 2 feet.
Yeah.
I leant into people and I accepted their help. I accepted, a helping hand, you know.
So being vulnerable and saying, I'm struggling here. And
exactly.
I'll take the help you offer. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%. So friends, my gosh, friends were amazing. Absolutely incredible, as were my family. Even my family, because I'm originally from Zimbabwe, I mean, they would phone me every single week. I had my family in Thailand, Australia, everybody, just the whole family, like a herd of elephants. You know, they will gather around and they will protect if one of their youngsters are under threat. The whole family and friends, they all gather around, and I felt like I had this herd of elephants around me, and I was protected. My family was protected, you know. So yeah, I really think it's faith, family, friends, talking, reaching out to strangers, support groups. I even went to my doctor and I just had a chat to her, you know, because there's one person you can blab in front of. And
that's your GP.
That's your GP, you know. And just to have somebody to listen and just be there to listen. They don't, they haven't got the answers.
No. Well, there wasn't an instant solution, no. So it was all that a GP can do is actually listen.
But exactly.
Amazing how just you showing your vulnerability of this is an incredibly tough space, that, you know, that trickles out to your community around you where they can then step in and support you.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had been strong, like you said, you always stand on your own 2 feet. You know, that opportunity isn't there for your community to, you know, your herd of elephants to actually step into that space and be there for you. So by being vulnerable, you actually made an opportunity for everyone else to be strong.
Yeah, and I think also just the realization that you're not unique, and your situation isn't as bad as the next person. You know, when you go into those support groups and you read people's stories, oh my gosh, it was heart-wrenching. There were people that had children that never met their parents, or they had parents dying in a different country and they couldn't get home to see their sick parents, or you know, my situation, it wasn't that bad. I had 2 grown daughters who understood the situation. Can imagine the people with little children. So I think there was strength in that as well, knowing that it's actually okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that you are not given more than what you can handle. You are given as much as you can handle, but not more.
And so you handled it with your exceptional travel agent skills. You surrendered. You couldn't organize your way out of this situation. But here you are, you know, in New Zealand now. So how long did it take from when Victor left in the January of 2019 until you were actually here in New Zealand?
I got here the end of March last year.
Yeah.
So a little over 2 years.
Wow.
So it was a long 2 years.
A significant amount of time.
But you know, Sally, is not all bad. There's a lot of good that came with it. And I know, as I was walking through it and I got deeper into the 2 years, I knew that it was right for me. COVID, I think, gave me time to prepare my mind to move countries, because it was really hard for me to move a country that I was born in and grew up with. And my life was there, and my life is the bush. People couldn't believe it when I left, and you know, they just like, how are you going to survive? I said, because I've got to get my mind right. So, and my mind was right to move the countries. I also took the opportunity to travel and to spend quality time with every single friend. So I traveled a lot during that time because I had my own travel business, so I could work from anywhere. And I used my time to say my goodbyes slowly and just to embrace every day and be thankful for every day. I had my health. My family had their health.
Yeah.
We just didn't have each other.
Wow. I'm just blown away, really. I mean, I think of, you know, all the goodness that has come out of your story. I mean, a story that's incredibly hard and how you've all struggled, but how, you know, it's been a blessing in disguise, you know, that in the struggle it gave you time to do your goodbyes and leave South Africa and come to New Zealand. Gave you time to travel and connect with friends in a real way, probably that you would never have had if there wasn't this 2-year gap. How was it for you, you know, being separated from Victor for 2 years? How was your relationship, you know, during that time and then coming back to be together again with him?
Wow. That's interesting question, Sally. It was
maybe it's not something you want to discuss
I do, because you know, during that time you have your ups and downs, you still have your ups and downs, you know, and that's marriage, but I would, you know, as a woman, you phone, you're in tears, and he's like, it's going to be okay. I'm like, well, it's not going to be okay. And you know, so you have those ups and downs. And I can, when I arrived here, I moved in with Victor, and Taylor and Caden moved up from Christchurch. They actually all moved into the same home, and it didn't feel like my home. But my stuff was there. I touched everything, and I just blubbed every time I touched something of mine. I'm like, oh, there this is, and there that is. So those things actually did mean something. Just for the sentimental value, not for the materialistic value. And it took me a good few months to slowly integrate myself back into my family, because I didn't want to come as the strong mom and take over, because my daughter had filled that space. She had become mom for her and for Victor, and become that was their little family, and I felt like a bit of a stranger coming into that. You know what I'm saying? And so I was just very conscious of that, and I think I was here for a week, and then Victor took me away camping for 10 days, and we just went traveling, and it was just that time for him and I to reconnect. And it was amazing. It really was amazing just to chat.
Just the two of you.
Yeah,
you needed that time to reconnect.
Yes, we did.
Just the two of you outside of your family as a whole. Wow, what an amazing journey that you've had.
And we celebrated our 30th anniversary a few days later in April.
Well, congratulations in this day and age. 30 years is an amazing length of time. And so now you and Victor are here in Nelson, and what's happening with the rest of your family?
So we live in the same home as my eldest daughter and her husband. We bought a dual property. And our youngest daughter, Shiona, she is still in South Africa. She had to complete her studies. You know, the intentions were good pre-COVID, that she would study here and do everything here. But once she had started her studies there, and the realization this was going to be, you know, long haul, she has continued, and she finishes her studies. She's just actually, last week, she finished her final exam.
Congratulations to you as the mum, but also to her.
To her, she's been amazing. I mean, she's been resilient through this as well. It's been really tough on her. having me move over in March. Mm. And having everybody here, and she's had to stay there. But she's also got an amazing network of friends.
Mm.
And so she wrote her last exam. She will be a qualified accountant, and she is finally joining us. She lands here on the 4th of December.
Wow. Yeah. So that's January 2019 to December 2024, before your whole family is actually all in the same country, in the same city.
It'll be our first Christmas together. 3 years where we're all together, as a family, and this is home. We've missed birthdays, we've missed Christmases, we've missed anniversaries, we've missed out on so much, but...
Mm.
Sure, we're going to make up for it.
I bet you are. So I just wanted to just thank you for sharing all your know-how today. I mean, I'm really encouraged just about how, you know, sharing with others that you're vulnerable and that you're struggling, you know, reaching out through support groups and uniting together with other people in the same situation as you, but just actually relinquishing control and saying, I have no control, I just have to accept it. And leaning into your faith is what got you through.
And being positive. Saying
and seeing it as an opportunity, which is what you've talked about, rather than seeing it as something awful, is looking at it, how can I gain something good from this situation that I'm in, which is just amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. So we're going to end Know How, Know Who with a song choice from Natalie. So what's the song that you've chosen?
Sally, it's a song that Shiona and I listened to, and we actually watched the movie, and then I've listened to the song I don't know how many times, because Shiona puts it on full tilt, and she's only 22. It is I Am Woman by Helen Reddy.
Yeah.
And there are three words in that song. And strong, invincible, woman.
Mm-hmm.
I am strong, I'm invincible, I'm woman. You can do anything in this world if you believe in yourself and know that you're going to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get more. You don't be given, you're not given more than what you can handle.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Thank you, Natalie. Thank you so much for listening to Know How, Know Who this morning. And let's have a listen to the song.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend. 'Cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever gonna keep me down again. Whoa, yes, I am wise, but it's wisdom. It only serves to make me more determined to achieve my final goal. And I come back even stronger, not a novice any longer, 'cause you've deepened the conviction in my soul. Oh yes, I am wise, but it's wisdom born of pain. Yes, I pay the price, but look how much I get. I'm invincible.
You've been listening to Know How, Know Who with me, Sally Scott. We'll get to know another Nelson local on the next edition of Know How, Know Who. You can also find more episodes by searching under the Programs tab on our website freshfm.net or on accessmedia.nz. Thanks for getting in the know with me.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.